welcome to the Need to Know podcast series, season 2. During this podcast, we invite leading cybersecurity specialists and experts to probe the key issues and share best practices for combating current and emerging cyber threats. I'm your host, Liz Green, the European Advisory and Cyber Leader at Dell Technologies. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the role policymaking, regulation, and diversity play in enhancing our collective cyber resilience. We've seen governments, including the UK's, develop a variety of policies and regulations to help build greater cyber resilience. In the last year alone, there have been 4 new policies and regulations that have taken effect, and many more to come globally. While these are positive steps, organizations still struggle to understand where best to invest to achieve the greatest return on investment. Furthermore, the talent shortage and lack of diversity in the field of cybersecurity can make meeting regulations and policies increasingly difficult. Today's podcast will explore all of this and more. I am thrilled to be joined by Yasmin Brooks, who is a partner leading the global practice for cybersecurity and data privacy at Brunswick Group. Yasmin has extensive experience in policymaking and regulation and complex problem solving across the public affairs landscape. She works with a range of global clients to advise them on their cyber and data risks, resilience, and crisis response. There's really no better person to be discussing these topics with today. So Yasmin, welcome. It is so great to have you here.
Hey, Liz. Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you for that great intro.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, let's get started. Really, really excited to have you on today and to hear some of your insights. So
sure.
We'll get into our first question. Yasmin, you've worked extensively with the UK government, helping implement policies to improve collective security and digital resilience. It would be great to better understand the role regulation and policy play in improving our collective cybersecurity.
Yeah, sure. So look, I think I have quite an interesting view on this question. And I think the sort of balance of regulation and policy is a bit of a mixed picture, honestly, by which I mean we need to recognize where there's a really important role for regulation, but I think governments globally also need to be kind of thinking more broadly about where other solutions might be more appropriate. And look, there's some great regulation out there. And just to sort of give you some examples of where I think cyber regulation can be a good thing, national standard setting. I mean, there's a proliferation of standards out there and, you know, a bit of consolidation would be great. Or sometimes regulation can be really effective at driving certain behaviours. And where you're talking about national security assets, particularly critical national infrastructure, there's most definitely a role for regulation. But really, I think it's only part of the answer. And the way I look at regulation is it's kind of a tool for allocating or shifting responsibility. And my personal view is that cybersecurity is most absolutely a shared responsibility. And so given that, I actually think that building and maintaining a really close working partnership between industry and governments or authorities, that can be much more impactful than just relying on regulation alone. And I would also say that in some instances, there is a risk that regulatory requirements can actually be counterproductive.
Mm.
And let me just kind of fire off a few examples. A really popular one that's often debated is mandatory breach reporting. And there's been a debate on that across various jurisdictions for years. My view, honestly, is that only works in an effective way if at the same time, governments are able to come in and support companies and organisations when they're experiencing a breach, particularly a severe one where organisations grind to a halt. Another example is if you can get regulation that becomes so prescriptive in detailing the steps that organisations need to take, you end up creating these huge compliance regimes. And compliance regimes aren't kind of in and of themselves a bad thing, but what they can do is detract from an organisation's focusing strategically on the risks and issues that are most important for them. And I think that's especially true for smaller organisations who will have less resource. The sort of final example is the more regulation gets into specifics, especially kind of around the how versus the what, the more it's going to really quickly become out of date. And I think that's particularly the case in today's fast-moving digital environment. So look, you can probably tell I'm a proponent of governments working closely with industry to identify and build solutions together for what I think is effectively a shared problem.
Yasmin, that's really helpful. Thank you so much. And I think actually I had a follow-up question, but you might have answered it already, which is, you know, do you think we need more or less regulation? I think you kind of answered it talking about, you know, how it's not just a regulation alone that's the answer, but it's really that close collaboration with the public and private sector. But anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's a really great question. Just sort of quickly, I don't think we need more, to be honest. I think we need better. But what I mean by that is really carefully targeted legislation, or legislation that focuses on avoiding unnecessary friction or burdens and creating an enabling environment. So an environment that allows industry to grow and really helps shape development. I'm just going to give you a quick example. As you may be aware, the UK is actually in the process of updating its data protection framework. And although I suspect the draft legislation doesn't go as far as some would like, what I found really interesting about the UK's approach here is that this draft legislation has been developed in close concert and dialogue with industry. And what it's doing is it's adopting a much broader purview. It's kind of recognising that, yeah, the protection of personal data is fundamental, you know, particularly in today's data economy. But the ways and means that you do that really need to reflect organisational differences and allow for changes in technology.
Really great and encouraging to hear about that collaboration. I think I actually attended a session led by ISC Squared that was part of that paper and getting industry perspective. And I was so surprised to hear something I would think would be really good, you know, having smaller businesses say, you know, that would be detrimental to us. We don't actually think that they should include that. And so I think that wealth of perspective is really encouraging to see that's being included. I guess a follow-up to that, do you think we really need regulation at all? Or can we trust that organizations will take responsibility themselves?
Yeah.
What do you think?
This is a real sort of age-old problem. Look, where I am on this question, sort of particularly at this moment in time, where I've just sort of seen, you know, 3 years worth of really intense and prolific ransomware hitting all sectors, regulators really mustn't lose sight of the fact that when organizations are hit by a cyber attack, the consequences are profound. I mean, they're really, really serious. And so I think it would be absolutely wrong to say that industry doesn't recognize the risk and the need to take action. Yes, for sure, more is needed across all geographies to increase cyber resilience. But I kind of go back to this point I was making earlier about the criticality of collective effort. I mean, I've always been a supporter of the notion that actually the right incentives can be a much more powerful driver of change. And I would really love to see countries actually kind of working through what incentives are already in place or what more needs put in place that's going to really sort of increase the willingness of industry to engage openly and share more information. And I would even go a bit further, actually. I mean, you know, let's be honest, that the cyber threat's going to continue to evolve, particularly as our sort of digital infrastructure is really changing and growing at pace. And I honestly think governments are going to need to turn increasingly to companies, not just to take on responsibility for their own cyber and data security, but actually for supporting in really kind of countering those significant threats. And I'm thinking here of some of the recent work that Microsoft and others have done in Ukraine. So yeah, that's where I would like to see the shift in focus, Liz.
Yeah, absolutely. I think incentives and actually leaning on technology and the private sector to kind of help with some of those gaps. And I think with the latest from the Biden administration as well, we've seen this kind of shift. It's not necessarily going to be all on government to help mitigate, but actually what is out there and how can we incentivize people to take those steps?
Exactly.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
And not to get too competitive here, but it would be good to know EU versus UK. We're seeing lots coming out of the EU. Is one stronger than the other in terms of policy or regulation? What do you think?
Yeah. So look, I don't think it's about saying one is necessarily stronger than the other. I guess what I would observe is that EU regulation, by definition, it's a very different creature. I mean, look, it's no easy task to build a framework that has to be developed and negotiated across 27 member states. I mean, can you imagine? What that also means is it's really difficult to construct a framework that has the agility to reflect differences within specific jurisdictions or to reflect fast-moving developments. And I'm going to just take the GDPR as an example. And the GDPR is, you know, it's definitely a regulation that's had some positive aspects and it's driven helpful change in many areas. But I think it's really worth reflecting on the fact that it was designed to be a data protection framework for the digital age. And yet that framework is now nearly 5 years old. So what I would say about, you know, not simply UK, but national level regulation is you do have a kind of a level of agility there that perhaps you don't have on a big kind of macro EU level. But I'd probably leave it at that, Liz.
Now, that's really helpful and agreed. And I think we're all finding our way in this space. And as you said, you could build something great for today and then by tomorrow it's out of date. So I think we're all figuring it out, you know, and taking the right steps. So really, really thanks for those insights, Yasmin. I'm going to move on to kind of our second question, which is really on security and return on investment. So for a long time, we've seen organizations were encouraged to spend significantly on cybersecurity and resilience. Now we're seeing some pull back and consider where they allocate dollars in security. How do you think organizations can most effectively determine where to invest to get the best value for money?
Yeah, this is a really, really great question, Liz. So personally, I'm a really strong believer that there's no one-size-fits-all approach. So kind of that's to say that priorities for investment are going to depend very much on the organization itself. And variables are going to include things like, well, what's the nature of your digital infrastructure and how old is it? What countries do you operate in? What data do you hold and why? What sectors are you very active in? So there's a whole kind of bunch of variables. And for me, the biggest factor that I kind of see as being the most successful one is having the right people in place. Now, I work closely with some really excellent CISOs and chief risk officers, all drawn from different organisations. And what's really interesting for me is that their investment and security plans are all going to look really different. And the thing that's key is that they not only have a really good understanding of their organisation's risk picture, so the security controls that are in place or the gaps that need addressing, but crucially, they have a really good understanding of how those risks can manifest into outcomes or impacts that the wider C-suite are really going to understand. And that might be, you know, I don't know, the unforeseen cost of a cyber attack, not just in terms of remediation and rebuild, but the loss of business or the impact on share price, the impact on your commercial relationships, or indeed your license to operate with the trust and support of your customer base. So those CISOs and chief risk officers who can translate what probably seem to be very technical or far removed risks into the sort of meaningful business decisions, they're the ones that are going to succeed in really driving a level of resilience that's most appropriate for your organization.
Thanks, Yasmin. Really helpful. And I think people are absolutely key. And I think that leads us well on to our next question, because I know you mentioned there are some great people out in the market, but unfortunately, not enough women. So Yasmin, right, you've had a very impressive career in the field of cybersecurity. You've held various roles in both the public and private sector. So from your perspective, it would be really good to understand, why do we still not see enough diversity in the field of cybersecurity? Where is the female talent coming from? And what, you know, in your opinion, is the solution for organizations looking to hire more diverse cybersecurity candidates?
Yeah. Do you know what, Liz? The underrepresentation of not just women, but other diverse groups, actually, across this sector, I mean, it's something that sort of really concerns and saddens me, actually. So look, I've been really lucky in my own personal experience in that some of the most impressive talent I've worked with in both the cyber and tech field, actually, they're women. I mean, there's lots of great men out there too. But I've worked with some, you know, extraordinary lawyers, some really impressive in-house roles, CFOs, general counsel, corporate comms, or going back to my government days, you know, women at the forefront of cyber policies or industry engagement or international work. But, you know, I can completely see it's not the norm and a lot more needs doing to encourage our next generation of women and other groups to seriously consider pursuing a career in cyber. So it's quite interesting. I sort of ahead of this, I was reflecting on my own personal experience and I very nearly didn't end up going for my first cyber role, which sort of many years back was in the UK Cabinet Office. And that was largely because at the time I found the word cyber in the job title completely terrifying. And I thought, gosh, that's far too technical for a mere policymaker like myself. Anyway, in the end, I did decide to go for it. And I can honestly say it has been one of my most enjoyable and interesting roles. And I'm so glad I did that. And my takeaway is that I think actually a lot more can be done to translate or perhaps myth-bust what a career in cyber could entail. Because actually it can be really, really varied, as you yourself know, Liz. So if you're someone who's got great technical skills, then that's awesome. You're going to be in high demand across this industry. But there are a bunch of other roles. You know, are you a good project manager? Or maybe you're someone that can remain calm in a crisis. Maybe you have an aptitude for some of the technical legal aspects, or you could be a great comms specialist. I mean, the list goes on and on. But what I would say is, week in, week out, particularly when I'm on cyber breaches, all those skill sets are absolutely critical for cyber. And I suppose the sort of final thing I would say is, you know, having myself encountered so many amazing role models across the industry, I would like to see those kind of role models really step forward and give the opportunity to inspire others. I would love our younger future talent to kind of see what great looks like and, you know, really develop the ambition to follow suit. You know, go for it, ladies. You'll be great.
Oh, Yasmin, I'm smiling ear to ear. And that's, you know, we're really encouraged to have you on the podcast today. And there are going to be many listening that probably considering careers in cybersecurity. And, you know, myth busting from your perspective and being that role model to so many, it's great to have you here to do that. So thanks again. And really for your whole interview, it's been really great to speak to you today. I think there's a few insights I've taken from our discussion. I think the first on regulation that, you know, yes, it is important, but needs to be balanced. We don't want it to read like a prescription of what exactly everyone needs to do at every single moment. And it also needs to bring in the private sector and involve industry. So it's not, you know, not something people can achieve reasonably and, right. And maybe driving more incentives as well. So that's kind of one piece. The second is on return on investment. You know, the best thing organizations can do is have the right people to execute these plans.
Right.
And I think, you know, that is really, really clear. And I think oftentimes we look at point solutions, technologies, but those are really band-aid fixes. It's a right team, right approach.
Definitely.
And presumably that doesn't mean, you know, within the organization, but working with lots of external groups. You know, Brunswick Group obviously does a lot of work in that space as well. So bringing those people into the folds. And then lastly, on diversity and kind of bringing more people along on the journey, cybersecurity is not being in a basement in a hoodie, although I'm sure there are rules that exist like that. There are lots of ways that people can be involved in this field without necessarily being technical. And as you mentioned, Yasmin, great if you are, but there are lots of other ways that you can be in this field. And, you know, I think if you are someone who is in cybersecurity, as a female, or really, you know, any diverse background, you know, stepping forward and mentoring people and bringing people along and up the chain is really important. So we hope that you can do that. I guess, Yasmin, hopefully that kind of summarizes and closes everything. It's been so great to have you here today for your insights. Pleasure speaking with you. And thank you to our listeners. We hope you join us next time. Thanks again.
Thank you, Liz. Such a pleasure to be here. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely.